Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome once again to an exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. Thank you so much for joining us here today. I'm your host, Ryan Redhawk McPherson, and at the controls is producer extraordinaire Alex Gossett-Shiflett. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. It's a magnificent Monday, and looking forward to a good show here today.
It's going to be a good week.
Yes, I think so. Very excited. So let's remind our listeners first, right out of the gate, to make sure you're connected with us on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at Business Radio X. That's the network. Make sure you follow Business Radio X and all the studios we have located around the Southeast and beyond. And if you want to follow the program here today, you can follow us at Atlanta Biz Radio, Atlanta B-I-Z Radio. Leave your thoughts and comments there and interact with us on the social media stratosphere. All right, let's introduce today's guest. We have two gentlemen representing Warrior Outdoors Incorporated. Let's say hello to Andy Wickman and Andrew Hurst. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Andy and Andrew, you guys are here doing good things, helping veterans get outdoors and enjoy that. Let's start with you, Andrew, first. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I'm Andrew Hurst. I grew up in Western Washington and ended up joining the Army to 12 years active duty. I spent 8 years with the 173rd Airborne out of Vicenza, Italy.
Yeah.
I parachuted into northern Iraq in 03. I spent another couple of trips with them in Afghanistan and ended up reclassing to the Army Criminal Investigation Division.
Say that again? You reclassed from an infantryman to what?
To the Army Criminal Investigation Division.
CID. Those are normally the opposite of what infantry guys want to talk to, right? Anytime CID comes calling, you're in trouble.
Yeah, CIDs, they don't typically have a whole heck of a lot of friends. But, you know, I'm sure everybody's seen the show NCIS.
Yes.
It's basically the Army version of that. Worked the field for a couple of years, did a lot of great things, helped a lot of folks, and then ended up going to D.C., and worked protection for Department of Defense, Secretary, the Undersecretary, those folks. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of getting to be my time to head back to the field. And I was just kind of tired of hanging out with dead bodies and child molesters, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. So,
yeah.
You know, it was time to make a change and, you know, it pursue another route. And I got hooked up with Andy Wickman over here. And it was just sort of a chance meeting.
Yeah.
And they were doing a little, you know, little fundraiser and, you know, community outreach deal over at the Bass Pro Shops in Duluth.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had posted something on Facebook about it. And I thought, you know what, I really ought to go and talk to these guys and see what they're all about and see if there's some way to get involved. And I went over there more as, you know, kind of wanting to, you know, to go on some of their trips.
Participate, right.
Yeah. And I got to talking to some of the folks and now I'm the Georgia State Director for Warrior Outdoors, sir.
Yeah, Georgia State Director. So you did 12 years in the service, but you reached a crossroads. You thought to yourself, either I got to ride it out for another 8 years and get my 20, or I need to transition out of the service. And so that's a tough question you have to ask yourself. You know, after so many years in the service, what were some of those kind of moments for you as you're walking through that transition?
It was obviously a very big change. You go from, you know, where everything is, you know, is very, very structured. And, you know, and then, you know, then transitioned over to CID, which is a completely different beast.
Yes.
It's all suit and tie. A lot of it, you know, first name basis. You're dealing with, you know, a lot of, you know, upper level commanders, mm-hmm. and especially working the protection side of the house where you're dealing with, you know, with VIPs for the United States, but also their, you know, their foreign counterparts when they're on U.S. soil.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit of a, you know, a better transition than, you know, than a lot of folks have.
Right.
In that, you know, you take a team leader or a squad leader from, you know, from an infantry unit, and then, you know, they transition out of the military. Now they're kind of floundering, trying to figure out, okay, well, this has been my entire life for the past decade. Mm-hmm. Now what do I do?
Yeah.
So I had a little bit of a, you know, a better insight into, you know, into the civilian world than a lot of other guys do. But it's still a rough transition.
Yeah.
You know, it took a couple of years to, you know, to kind of get my feet. Worked a couple of different gigs, you know, here in Buckhead,
mm-hmm.
and you know, got to meet a lot of really interesting folks.
But you wanted to serve again. You wanted to give back again the way you were doing in the military.
Exactly.
And you know, logical transition would be go CID into law enforcement or something. Even with an infantry background, law enforcement would have been kind of a natural progression for you, but you didn't want to go that route.
You know, I really considered that. And my wife is still busting my chops about that.
She wants you to be a cop, huh?
yeah, but my, you know, unfortunately, my heart's really not in that anymore. Yeah. You know, I wanted to get back into, you know, into helping soldiers, helping other service members, especially a lot of the folks that, you know, they're dealing with PTSD, which is, you know, which is a very, very big problem. We lose, you know, 22 a day to, you know, to suicide or drug overdose or all these other things. And a lot of that stuff is attributed to PTSD, and it's an epidemic.
It is.
And, you know, being a part of, you know, of that solution is, you know, I think that's, you know, that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Is to be able to, you know, to help other folks. You know, I deal with PTSD as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I understand a lot of those, you know, the issues with the transition from the military over to, you know, over the real world and trying to, you know, to make sense of everything and, you know, trying to keep everything together, you know, maintain a family and a normal, you know, normal routine.
Yeah.
When you go from, okay, you know, at this time, you have to be at this place, you know, this, you know, these are the clothes you're supposed to be wearing.
Yes.
To, okay, hey,
yeah, write your own,
you know,
future now.
Precisely.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's the, you know, one of the biggest things. And that's why we're doing what we're doing, is to be able to get those folks that are, you know, that are kind of floundering, kind of struggling. And we'll get into, you know, into some of the other stuff a little bit later, mm-hmm. As far as the, you know, the bigger picture. But on a smaller scale, what we're really trying to do is at the user level, be able to, you know, to take a, you know, a veteran that, you know, that is having some problems or just kind of not really feeling like they're really included,
mm-hmm.
because it really is a different society than, you know, than what you had in the military.
Yes.
You know, a lot of folks in the civilian world, they don't really have that understanding of, you know, what it's actually like, what you've been through and whatnot. And that's where Warrior Outdoors really comes into play, is being able to get these guys together, you know, get that brotherhood back together, mm-hmm. and, you know, and have that camaraderie, get them outside, get them out doing something, whether it be, you know, hunting, fishing, camping, rock climbing, paintball, ATV riding, all kinds of fun stuff. You know, so we've got a lot of great stuff planned, and we'll kind of brush on some of that stuff here in a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, do you have any other questions as far as, you know, what, you know?
I've got all kinds of questions. I'm glad you're here, for
Perfect.
Sure.
So, I'm glad to answer.
You are the state director, and how long have you been in that role?
Well, it's what?
About a month.
About a month.
And prior to that, what were you doing?
Before that, I was actually just driving Uber.
Okay.
Around the area. Get to meet a lot of great folks, make a lot of great contacts, and you can actually make a decent amount of money doing
it. Can you?
Oh, absolutely.
And would you recommend that to another veteran who may be transitioning out, doesn't know what career path they want to go on yet, but need to make some money in the short term?
Oh,
that may be a good opportunity.
Oh, in a heartbeat. And you know, and the nice thing is, I'm going to be posting some stuff on our Georgia fan page about that as well.
Okay.
On, you know, being able to, you know, have, you know, a vehicle provided for you if you don't have one that meets the right requirements. I'm more than happy to, you know, sit and talk to people about, you know, certain routes, different locations, times.
Oh, yeah.
And planning out, you know, how all that stuff works. Because when I first started doing that, it took me about 4 days to kind of put together a real good solid business plan, mm-hmm. on, okay, how can I maximize this? Because the whole entrepreneurial spirit of the thing is absolutely fantastic.
Right.
I love the program, and they've got a great support staff here in Atlanta for the drivers.
Good. And so we encourage our veterans to connect with Andrew, if you want to. We'll have his information later posted up on our website, atlantabusinessradio.com. Let's also bring into the conversation now Andy Wickman. He's the executive director over there. How are you doing, Andy?
I'm doing wonderful.
Tell us a little bit about your background and then what got you involved with Warrior Outdoors.
My background has been primarily in business. I'm one of the few people involved with Warrior Outdoors who is not a veteran. I basically am a serial entrepreneur.
Okay.
I love the challenges of startups of business. I started working with and did a whole variety of different businesses myself. I've owned an advertising company. I've owned a dating service. I've owned a transmission repair shop. I've owned a motorcycle shop. The motorcycle shop was my most recent. Mm-hmm. I sold that, and one of the other founders came in too and was a customer of mine at the motorcycle shop. And he had approached me with the concept or idea of, he just wanted to take some veterans out and, you know, do some outdoor related mm-hmm. activities and build a television show. And so as we began talking a little bit more, I basically took us from, you know, just a small little local kind of a situation and broadened to a national entity.
So you are the man behind the idea who's bringing this nationwide. Now you guys are helping veterans all over the country.
We are. We are. We have 9 states, 7 of which are still originating their teams. We kind of require that they have a solid base or team to initiate from the state level, because ultimately what we plan on doing is having multiple chapters in every state. And so the job of like Andrew with the state director's position is they're going to have to oversee all of those chapters within a particular state. So those other 7 states are still getting a little bit organized. They've got some smaller activities. They've got some smaller fundraising. But at this point right now, I've got Michigan and Missouri, which are already established and exploding tremendously. So both of our crews in those 2 states are doing phenomenal.
Well, good. It sounds like Warrior Outdoors is growing, and the more you grow, the more veterans you can help for sure get outside and get connected with nature. From your perspective, what's the difference between running a for-profit business and a nonprofit business?
The biggest difference is 2 factors. It's sustainability and scrutiny. As a nonprofit business, we're scrutinized on every aspect. When you run a for-profit business, you don't share your tax information with the general public. You don't talk about any of the, you know, I mean, that's all kind of behind closed doors.
You have to be more transparent as a not-for-profit.
That's exactly correct. Yes. Everything has to be transparent. And so if anyone ever wants to check on a nonprofit, all they have to do, there's a variety of different organizations out there, such as Benevity or GuideStar. Those are organizations that work very much like a credit reporting agency. You know, I mean, they keep track of the 1090C, I forget the actual form, IRS form. But at any rate, they keep track of your IRS reporting. They keep track of your donations. They keep track of your expenditures, things of that nature. And then they report those to other companies and organizations to be able to base what kind of giving those organizations want to be able to do. So that scrutiny side of it is where the general public, you also have a whole host of watchdogs out there.
Right.
And those watchdog organizations, you know, I mean, they're watching to make sure that anybody who's in a nonprofit is basically dotting the I's, crossing the T's, you know? I mean, they want to make sure that we're doing everything on an up-and-up basis.
And it sounds like you are, and you're continuing to grow, and that's one of the reasons you're of your success. You know, veterans are getting help, and more exposure is becoming to the organization. What do you need more of at Warriors Outdoors? What are you looking for more of?
What do we need more of? We need a lot more everything as far as volunteers.
Okay.
We need volunteers. We need time, money, and resources. I mean, realistically, a nonprofit organization can't operate without the donations from the general public. But we're very specific in the areas where the dollars and cents are spent. So in other words, we're not going to take the donation from a general public and spend that on overhead, for example. Now, you can't run a business without overhead. I mean, unfortunately,
gotta keep the lights on.
We've got product sponsors, you know, I mean, some awesome product sponsors. Sawyer Products, for example, they make water filtration components. Drury Outdoors, which is another television
big organization.
Show.
Yep.
You know, unfortunately, though, they sent us a whole bunch of videos, and I can't pay a light bill with video. So the only choice I have is to be able to, you know, generate cash flow from the business perspective.
So you need more donations from the private sector as well as the corporate sector.
Both. Right? Now, the benefit of the corporate sector is the advent of the television show that we're building. Because we're building this television show and it will be aired on the Pursuit Channel. We've already got our contract in place.
Good.
So we'll be airing to over 38 million homes across the United States. We are listed as what's known as the flagship on Pursuit. So once our show, we have to have a certain number of episodes, what they call in the can.
Yes.
Once those shows are in the can, then they can begin the internal advertising, and they will put us, we get prime time, air time. And as a result, so the corporations, when they advertise with us, depending on their personal tax situation, they have the ability to utilize the dollar spent either A, for advertising, so they can use that as just a normal business expense, or B, they can list it as a tax deduction.
Right off.
So from a business standpoint, if you're already out there, you're already spending money on advertising, you're already doing business this way, then why not get the tax deduction in conjunction?
That makes perfect sense for sure. And the television show is going to only make this Warrior Outdoors, even expose it to more people who don't even know it's available to them as a veteran, don't even know it's out there.
That's correct.
Exactly. Right.
Yep. Alex?
Oh, I just had a question about your... I wanted to go back for a second and ask you about your dating service.
Yeah, I get asked that all the time.
You know, I mean, how did that come about? You were just sitting around, you're like, oh, you know, I think I'd be good at putting together a dating service.
No, actually, I started out... I basically was three classes shy of my psychology degree with law in college. I got bored in school, and so I... packed up, moved to Detroit.
Detroit.
I'm originally from Michigan. So I moved to Detroit where I had a buddy of mine. I went out, interviewed for jobs, wound up with a two job offers. I could either work for Radio Shack or I could go into sales in the dating service business. And so I thought it would just be a lot more fun to go into the dating service business. I was single at the time. So, you know, it just, you know, it seemed like an opportunity. I rapidly became the top salesperson. I took myself out of that position. I went into the telemarketing department. I rapidly became the management in the telemarketing department. And the next thing you know, I was promoted to a regional director with the largest dating service in the state of Michigan.
About that.
And
can you tell us the name?
It was the Millionaires Club.
Right.
Oh.
Yes.
So you only dealt with that 1%.
No, it was just the name. It was, you know, I mean, and you have to understand this was in the 90s. This was prior to all of the computer generated components.
Yeah, the internet, yes. And all the online dating.
Yes. So we had to do all of the algorithms by hand. Everything that the computers are currently doing right now. The positive side was, is you did have a human touch when dealing with it. But it was a very interesting experience. But the owner of that dating service pulled the largest United States postal scam in history.
No.
He did. He did, in fact. And so the federal government came in. They did investigations. You know, I mean, of course, I'm answering a lot of questions as a regional director there. And as it was, they came in and they seized all of his businesses together.
Man.
So that left me without a job.
Yeah, and well, time to move on.
Okay, but before we move on, were you good at it? Were you good at it?
I was.
And do you think that's because of your psychology background?
Absolutely.
Or you're just a people person?
Well, I'm definitely a people person, but, you know, sales and understanding, all of that comes from the knowledge of psychology. I mean, human beings were... we're creatures of habit. There are certain things that we all look for, the comforts, you know, the way men think versus the way women think. You know, I mean, there's certain variables that come into play, especially in the entire dating world. So, yeah, it was definitely helpful to have the psychology background for sure.
One last question. Is that where you met your wife?
It is not. No, I met her in Alabama, which is where I started my dating service. But yeah, I did. I picked her up in a bar.
That's a good story. And for those listeners who may have just joined us, we're talking with Andy Wickman. He's executive director of Warrior Outdoors, and Andrew Hurst, the Georgia state director for Warrior Outdoors. So let's talk about a veteran who wants to get signed up. What are some of those first things that they should do if they want to get involved with the organization?
Yeah, one of the biggest things that they can do is actually just they can reach out to us via, you know, Facebook, or they're more than welcome to you know, check out our website. And we've got a number on there. More than welcome to give that a ring.
So I give you a call and I say, hey, Andrew, I want to go on a hog hunt. Let's make it happen. And then what do you do?
Yeah, so essentially that's kind of how it works. We've got a lot of, you know, preset things that we're, you know, they're working on. You know, here in Georgia, we've got, you know, got a fishing trip coming up here towards the end of the month. Shooting for the 26th on that. Our guys out in Missouri and in Michigan, they are just completely rocking it. I mean, they're, you know, a little bit more well-established than we are here in Georgia, but we're quickly trying to, you know, play catch up and, you know, hoping to, you know, surpass those guys here pretty soon.
But what do you do to make sure the veteran gets, you know, the experience they want to get?
Absolutely. So everybody has different requirements, whether it be, you know, some kind of an emotional thing or, you know, or a physical thing. If you've got somebody that, you know, that's disabled and, you know, they're not, you know, they're missing both their legs, or they, you know, they've got, you know, emphysema or, you know, whatever the case may be. There's a lot of different things that kind of go into that that, you know, that a lot of folks probably wouldn't think about. Mm-hmm. How are you going to get these folks out there? What are you going to do to make sure that, you know, that person has the best experience possible? Mm-hmm. Because ultimately that's our goal is to take care of these guys and be able to, you know, to get them out and do something that, you know, that normally they're probably not going to be able to do on their own.
Right.
Whether it, you know, be financial or physical or emotional, you know, issues that, you know, that are restraining them from being able to get out there and enjoy the things that they used to, or just something that, you know, that they've always been interested in, you know, as well as, you know, being able to get them out with, you know, with another group of veterans that, you know, that have an understanding of, you know, of the brotherhood and the, you know, the camaraderie of the service. And, you know, we might have somebody that, you know, there might be wheelchair bound. Okay, well, you're not going to be able to, you know, to take them on, you know, on a stalking hunt. Okay, so we got to make other arrangements for that. How are we going to be able to transport that person safely from, you know, whatever parking area out into the woods, mm-hmm. and, you know, and be able to get them out into, you know, in a safe location? And you know, a lot of that stuff kind of comes, you know, into the realm of, you know, like adaptive, you know, homes, mm-hmm. and, you know, wheelchair accessible, you know, stuff for, you know, for restaurants and businesses, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, where, you know, they obviously have to think about that stuff as because of, you know, of coding. But with us, it's a little bit different. So it's kind of on a case by case basis on how we approach that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here in Georgia, we've got a number of donated properties that, you know, that we can use for these different events, whether it be, you know, hunting or fishing or, you know, ATVs, zip line parks, all kinds of fun stuff like that. But the, you know, whatever that person's requirements are, we're going to have to be able to work around that. Mm-hmm. And what we're in the process of doing is actually setting up, you know, plenty of different options. So if you do have somebody that's wheelchair bound, or if you do have somebody that has some sort of a physical limitation, that we can actually get them out into a safe blind or, you know, something along those lines where, you know, they can still enjoy the outdoors. But at the same time, you know, they're not, you know, held back in that, okay, well, hey, you know, those are the woods over there. Well, how the heck am I going to get my wheelchair through that?
Right. So you do take in consideration all medical conditions, all needs of the veterans, no matter what they may be mentally overcoming some hurdles or physical challenges as well. You're able to put those in play. And these are some of the questions you may ask up front: what the veteran wants to do, what are their capabilities, what are they hoping to get out of this?
Exactly. And those are actually some of my very first questions. Okay. What kind of issues might you have? Mm-hmm. What restrictions do you have? How can I help? Mm-hmm. What would you like to do? So we can tailor that around, because everybody's got, you know, a little bit of a different mindset on what they want to take away from this.
Right.
Because really, I mean, it's kind of a personal journey for these guys on, you know, might be, you know, they've been stuck on the couch for the last, you know, however many years, mm-hmm. You know, finally get them out. And, I think Andy's got a pretty cool, success story on something real similar to that. But how do we get these guys, you know, out of that environment and back into the outdoors?
Yeah, very true.
Is the biggest thing, and being able to, you know, to sit down and you know, explain to them, okay, hey, look, this is kind of the general idea. Let's work together and figure out a good solution that works well for you.
Right. And hunting or fishing may not be that. They want to get outdoors, but I know some guys who've gone through some tough times in Iraq, came home with a little bit of PTSD, and they don't want to be around guns. They don't want to kill anything again. You know, they have, you know, experienced that too. So you can provide those other outlets for them, like you said, maybe rafting or rock climbing.
That's a funny thing that you say that, because, you know, I mean, we get asked all of the time, you know, well, what do you do when you have a guy who is 100% PTSD? You know, I mean, you take him out in the woods and you give him a gun, and we smile and laugh and say, no, we take him fishing.
Yes. Right, that's exactly. Great. Yeah. So there is you can custom tailor a plan or an outdoor activity for that veteran based on their needs and their wants.
Yeah. And I just use hunting as an example, because it's kind of an extreme, you know, as far as the, you know, the physical limitations of being able to get somebody out.
Right.
But, you know, but the thing is with, you know, like what he was saying, you know, about the guy with, you know, with PTSD, you're not just going to, you know, send him out in the woods with a gun. You know, we're Warrior Outdoors. It's not, you know, warrior hunting. It's anything that basically, you know, that gets these guys out and about.
And together with other veterans experiencing the outdoor activities.
You know, it, you know, might be scuba diving. It might be, you know, going out to...
hang gliding?
I'm sorry?
Hang gliding?
Absolutely.
I want to do hang gliding.
Absolutely.
I'm dying to do
Let's do it.
All right.
I want to hear the success story. You said Andy had a success story?
I do. We put together and organized a hog hunt where we took 23 different veterans on an organized hog hunt. This hog hunt was basically a 3-day, and it was all day and all night. And of course, we were filming the entire thing. So this was part of the television show, some of the stuff that we had going on. Some of that video footage, some of the interviews is actually on our website. So if anybody wants to go see some of that, you're more than welcome to.
WarriorOutdoors.org.
That's correct. And basically, we had a Vietnam veteran who more or less had not come out of his house. He really didn't do a whole lot of anything other than work, church, normal grocery shopping, things of that nature. He had not been in the woods or hunted or done anything along those lines in over 27 years. Mm-hmm. Wow. He was invited by several other veteran buddies of his, and he was a member of a PTSD group with the VA, and they all encouraged him to participate. He said, this is way out of my comfort zone. And so he came out, and we set him up, got him set out in a field where there was a lot of open area. And he had picked up the gun and, of course, went out there. Well, after his experience out there in the woods, he and I were sitting down having, you know, what we call a campfire talk. And so as we're having our campfire talk, he was telling me, he said, I got to tell you, Andy, I saw a lot of Vietnamese black pajamas running around out there. And he said, I flashed back to Vietnam. He said, I was sweating. I was going through all of the normal PTS-related characteristics. And he said, and so I was watching these black pajamas running around. He said, and all of a sudden, one of those black pajamas grunted at me. And he said, it dawned on me right then and there that I was in a safe environment. And these were the hogs that I was supposed to be shooting. They were running all around me, and I had missed opportunities. And he said he got a shot or two off, but by that point in time, they were already, you know, scattering and running really rapidly. But from that experience, he basically came back and he said, you know, it helped him to reset the triggers, because that's ultimately what PTS has a tremendous amount of, its triggers. And so for him, the black pajamas is what he referred to them as, was what his trigger was. He would see those little shadows, little catches of black, and that would always catch his eye, and it would immediately create that stressful scenario. And so now here he is in an environment with a gun in his hand, seeing black pajamas. But now all of a sudden, the adrenaline rush that's associated with it is actually a target animal of what he's actually out there hunting for enjoyment. Mm-hmm. And so what that does is that helps to reset those triggers. You can't, it's not proven that anybody can necessarily cure PTSD. And that's not our function. We are not, you know, we're not claiming to fix that component. Our goal is to be able to help reset those triggers, to take those negative situations and environments and reset them into a positive.
That's great that you're helping veterans of all generations, the Vietnam era guys, the most recent conflict, and all your opportunities are open to any veteran out there, right?
That is correct. Veterans, first responders as well. We also cover police, firefighter, and EMS. So, I mean, there's a whole host. I can't imagine some of the things that our police force and our firefighters, you know, I mean, to go into a house, a burning house, and see the devastation and the destruction, and then find, you know, just a family that has been affected directly, you know, as a result of the fire. Those things weigh real heavily. And I mean, post-traumatic stress, that's what it is. It's mm-hmm. trauma that carries with it a tremendous amount of stress. Mm-hmm. So those service people are directly affected as a result as well. So we include them in the things that we do. We don't want any of our service personnel, whether it be veterans and the first responders.
Very good. Yeah, it's certainly helping them and helping the veterans along the way, just helping them connect, helping them find a new outlet in life to take away some of this stress or anxiety they may be experiencing, and getting outdoors. You know, nature is a simple beauty. And they say when you're enjoying beauty, your mind is silence. So the longer you can enjoy beauty, the longer you can go without having to think about a lot of these past negative thoughts that you may be experiencing. So here in Georgia, you've got opportunities to hunt hogs. You've got opportunities to hunt birds. I mean, you can just hunt just about everything here in Georgia. So you're able to do that. Getting ready to be deer season here in the fall. So you're looking for some warriors to go out this fall.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're very, very excited about a lot of great things that are that are in the works. I don't want to put too much out there just yet. A lot of these things are that we're still working on the plans on those, and definitely follow our Facebook. Pretty much all these events are going to be we're going to be mass blasting information about on getting involved with obviously the fundraisers and looking for volunteers and stuff like that. Because at this stage of the game, we definitely need some help with a lot of this. But our our main focus is to be able to get these guys out, and Facebook and other social media, and also the website and the TV show are going to be huge on being able to put this information out and be able to get folks involved and get them out in the woods. And like you said, just the beauty of nature is for a lot of folks, myself included, it's just being out there is. It's calming. There's something about Mother Nature that takes away a lot of the stress of the city and everyday normal life. And even if you're not actually doing anything, if you're just just sitting out there in the woods,
sitting on a park bench,
exactly,
right?
Your local park, just down the street, or deep into a national forest. There's just something about it that that's just kind of serene. And I want to be able to to take a lot of that, and be able to to help these guys by getting them out there into these into these areas.
So connect with them on Facebook. That's facebook.com/warrioroutdoors. Plus, there's a Georgia fan page for Warrior Outdoors if you're here locally and want to connect with them. And now that you're the state director, Andrew, do you get out and hunt as much as you did in the past, or are you more involved in helping the other warriors get out there?
A bit of both. The nice thing about this whole thing is it's very much a hands-on grassroots organization. And that's, that's really what it needs to remain. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are going to be expanding, exponentially, but the main purpose is to get people out there. As the state director, I want to be able to, to have, direct contact with a lot of these guys
in other states.
That as well. Obviously, reaching out to our other state directors, say, hey, what do you have going on? What's working well for you? What's not? Because ultimately it's one team, one fight.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in this together, and obviously, being able to to delegate a lot of that stuff down to the other folks is very important. But I'm a lead from the front kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
I always have been.
Follow me.
And exactly. And I want to be out there with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to to kind of add my experiences and see firsthand what these guys are going through, because we've all been through different things. Like Andy was talking about with the Vietnam vet. I spent a year in Iraq and 3 years in Afghanistan, saw some very, very, very heavy combat, but I have no clue what Vietnam was truly like.
None.
I've got a lot of friends and a lot of folks at my VFW post that, that are Vietnam, a lot of family that, that was in Vietnam, but I can't fully understand, what those guys went through, just like they can't understand Afghanistan.
Right.
There's a lot of similarities,
right?
But they were two completely different beasts.
Right. No, I was in Iraq, never in Afghanistan. I know what Iraq was like, but I'll never understand Afghanistan. Even though it was the same time frame, similar type situations, they're just two different worlds
exactly
altogether. But, you know, if you've been into war and you've been to combat and you've come home, you want to connect with others who have been in that same places and done the same kind of thing, whether it be going outdoors or just sitting and having a cup of coffee at the local deli. You know, it's a great to connect with those other veterans. So, so Andy, as you grow and scale this operation and hopefully into every state around the country, what are some of those challenges you're experiencing into to get this operation, you know, to a full national organization?
To be honest with you, I'm terrified of the next growth stage that we're about to get into, because once the television show actually airs, we are going to explode at such a massive scale. Mm-hmm. And so that actually terrifies me, because we've got to have those teams, those crews in place in all of those other states to be able to handle that growth. The last thing we ever want to do is let anybody down as a result of not having those teams in place.
Or create so much infrastructure that you no longer can service the veteran simply and effectively because there's so much bureaucracy that must happen in a national organization.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, I mean, the television show is ultimately, I refer to that as the catalyst for anybody who's ever used the exploding tannerite targets. You know, I mean, you shoot them, they have two different components to them. It's got a large white inert mm-hmm. ingredient, and then it's got a really small gray package, and you basically pour the gray package in and shake it all up and then shoot it with a gun.
Yeah.
And it makes a big bang.
Yes.
And the thing about tannerite is it's that tiny little catalyst that makes such a massive explosion. And realistically, that's the way we're viewing the television show. The television show is the catalyst. It is what is going to cause our entire program to explode nationally and bring that awareness to the people that we're having a difference in, as well as the different components. And I want to point out something real quick too, because I want all of the listeners to know we're not just tranquil. We're not just sitting on a park bench or, you know, hanging out in a rowboat doing some fishing. We're talking about extreme sports here as well. You know, I mean, it's one thing, yeah, you're in the tranquility and the beauty of nature while you're fishing, but it's another thing. You can't think of a whole lot of PTS-related items when you're doing 50 miles an hour down an ATV trail and looking at a tree straight in front of you. Your brain doesn't have enough time to react to think about any of the negative things that you've been mm-hmm. dealing with. Mm-hmm. Same thing, jumping out of an airplane, sand yachting across the dunes out right. in, you know, Nevada. I mean, just a whole host of other extreme sports related items. We hope to be able to organize a Mount Everest climb.
Sign me up. I'm serious. I just watched that movie this weekend, Everest.
Did you?
Yes. And, yeah. I've always been into mountain climbing and alpining. So yes.
We're hoping that our goal is to be able to take two different individuals from each branch of the military, as well as those first responders. So it's nice. Going to be a relatively large group. But ultimately, what we want to do is we want to have that aspect of competition that takes place within the military. You know, I mean, that's one of the big things I pick up on. You guys pick on each other depending on branch, you know, Marines versus Army versus Air Force versus, you know, I mean, everybody picks on each other. But when it really boils down to it, it's still one team at the end.
That's right.
You know, and that one team is all fighting together. And I view that happening with the Everest related climb. You know, I mean, you're going to be able to showcase on the show a whole lot of drama and ribbing and picking.
Teamwork, but yet also competitive nature and everything.
That's correct.
Yeah. And we just had, I forget his name, the first amputee from the Global War on Terrorism yes. Summit Everest.
Yes, I saw
just
that.
Just last month. I forget his name, but what a credible story for sure. And what a challenge that would be to take a group of veterans out there and do a summit of the world's highest mountain.
So, you know, you mentioned hang gliding earlier. So all we need is one of your listeners to go ahead and sponsor Brian for a hang gliding trip. All you got to do is send a check in.
Who's Brian?
I'm sorry.
Ryan.
Oh,
sorry. Okay. I was going to get me confused there.
That's all right. Sorry. I put a B in front of it.
That's okay. It happens all the time.
That's what happens on radio.
But somebody, you know, shows up and says, hey, I would like to be that guy or that company or the organization that makes it possible for these veterans to live out their dreams.
That's correct. So they could, someone out there could sponsor you
nice.
For that hang gliding
Alex,
event.
You want to sponsor me?
We'll just get someone to.
I would love to see him. Yeah.
Stroke a check for that. You know,
nice.
I mean, we'll put
when
it on
can
TV.
Our listeners find that TV show? When can that look to be be on the tube?
We are currently slated for third quarter of this year. So we are hoping that it's coming right up. So. We do have, there again, our network, you know, being the Pursuit Channel, yes. They donate our time to us.
That's fantastic.
So that in and of itself is a huge, huge donation.
But that's just the time on the network. You still got to go out there and have production crew out there, got to do the editing and the planning. I mean, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that goes on.
That's correct. Yeah, a lot of people think, you know, I mean, and there again, we'll go back to fishing, for example. You know, I mean, you go on a fishing trip and they think, oh, you get together and you get your camera out and, you know, you're on the boat. No, it takes two boats minimum to do a fishing trip. Because your other boat's got to be out there from different angles. People don't want to see the backs of people's heads the entire time they're fishing, and you can't fit another camera out there on the boat.
Yeah, and Andy, do the people, your crew, are they paid, or do they volunteer their time as well?
At this point right now, we are 100% volunteer. We hope to ultimately, there again, have our, you know, like state director, that will be a paid position, as well as the administrative and the home office area. But that comes after there's extra money in the bank.
You might want to get in touch. You know, Ryan and I are graduates from the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, and it might be worth, you know, a phone call or a trip over there to talk to them and get some students that are looking for experience and internships.
Absolutely.
To, you know, because they're, my class had a lot of really talented kids, especially that knew how to edit. Not just, you know, shoot professionally, but the editing. And so Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
There you go. Yes.
And we take those volunteers from all of the colleges as well. You know, I mean, a lot of the like drama students, for example, they have to meet so many hours of volunteer. That's one of the benefits that we can offer. Mm-hmm. They can sign up with us, volunteer. They get credit for those hours. High schools, my own daughter, she's 16 and she decided because she's in drama and music that she wanted to act as the youth liaison for us. So she was going through her high school as well as the competitive band high schools every time she goes to a competition. And she'll actually reach out to those other groups to help them get their volunteer hours that they need within those organizations. That's they've been doing crazy, silly little things. They we have window decals that we sell, and they come from the print company, and they're all cut, but they don't have all of the vinyl pieces peeled out on the exterior. Oh, so we have, you know, situations where we've got all of these teenagers sitting around a table and they're literally just picking these things out. It's a perfect volunteer type of an opportunity. It doesn't require any special skills or anything else. And they get their hours served for their particular classes.
Yeah, just buy them a pizza and...
That's it. That's exactly right.
Keep it's a win-win for everyone.
Keep them in Mountain Dew for sure.
So the guys at Warrior Outdoors need more veterans to get signed up. They need more volunteers, more resources. Just if you have time or know someone who does, reach out to them and get involved. If you know a veteran who has been kind of stuck at home and doesn't know where to go, looking for something new and different to enjoy, this would be a great opportunity for them to get out and connect with other veterans, but also experience things in a different way where they don't have to sit and feel sorry for themselves or think about what could have been. So certainly reach out to that veteran or reach out to Warrior Outdoors yourself. You can talk directly with Executive Director Andy Wickman or the State Director, Andrew Hurst. We'll have all their information posted up later on our website at atlantabusinessradio.com. So thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us. Andy, again, tell us, our listeners, how they can connect with you.
The easiest way is to call the phone number, which is 866-343-HERO. And that's 4376.
That's 866-343-4376. Call them up and see how you can get involved.
Absolutely.
And we'd love to have you back on the program. If there's anything we can do to help amplify your message, help more people become aware of Warrior Outdoors, let us know. We'd be happy to do so.
I would love to come back.
All right. And Andrew, for you, if listeners want to get in touch with you, how would they do so?
Yeah, same deal. You're more than welcome to you know, to call the HERO number. Also reach out to us on Facebook. You know, I'm one of the admins on there. So if you just send a, you know, a message via Facebook or, you know, or just show up at one of our events, we are more than happy to, you know, to talk to anybody, whether you want to, you know, to get involved in going on an expedition or, you know, like Andy was saying, if you wanted to sponsor something, we really, really appreciate that kind of community support. Because at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is, you know, is to help these guys in a lot of different things. And, you know, the more that we can help them, you know, the more that the rest of these guys are going to be able to give back to the local communities.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, that's why we're here.
Is there any other events or places people can find you coming up in the next several weeks or months?
Over the next couple of weeks, I don't have any major events coming up. We are going to be having some big fundraisers and other expeditions and stuff coming up here in the next few months.
Yeah.
And definitely, you know, check out our Facebook. Follow us on there and, you know, keep posted on all of the upcoming events.
Yeah.
And like you had mentioned earlier, we do have a Georgia fan page. So the main Warrior Outdoors, you know, page is the entire country. Whereas with the Georgia page, it's going to be a lot more of the local events, around the Atlanta area here. But also, we're going to be pushing, further out down south because we can encompass the entire state.
Good. Good, for sure. So we definitely encourage you to connect with Andrew and Andy both from Warrior Outdoors. If you want to get involved as a veteran or in an organization, giving back your time and resources, that'd be great. So thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us. Look forward to great things from you in 2016 and beyond.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And thank you, Alex, once again, for running the controls and keeping us all straight. If your company is out there doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact page at businessradiox.com and pitch us your story. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Red Hawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.